56. We're actually going to be going to two different passages. We want to start in Psalm 56 and then be going over to 1 Samuel and then back to Psalm 55 and then right into 56 again a little bit later. What I'm trying to do in these services, especially in the Sunday evenings, but even somewhat in the Sunday mornings, is not to go teach us try to anything new, not to try to take us into a passage we haven't ever heard preached on before, but really take us back to some very familiar passages of Scripture, ones we may even have memorized, ones we maybe have heard over the years, or maybe you're a younger Christian and these could be totally new to you. But I want to take us back to some of these older passages of Scripture, more familiar passages of Scripture, and now kind of fit them into our lives. Now we see the time where they have a place where they can fit into our lives and have an application for us. And so I think this could be a really helpful time in our lives. The Lord talks about the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that when the floods came, the waters were rising up and the house was ready to collapse. And some of it, there was a great collapse because they hadn't built their house upon a solid foundation. Maybe that's true of you right now. Maybe in the way you're handling life, maybe the way you're handling the changes that are being made, maybe there's a lot of anger in your life right now. Maybe your words aren't lining up with what you believe Christ would have you to talk like. Maybe there's a lot of frustration coming out at home now that you're having to spend more time there and so forth. And so again, we want to go back to the Scriptures now, say, oh, okay, that's what that verse means, and here's how it fits into my life. And so I want us to focus here a little bit. I want to look at verse number 3. Let's look at this briefly, kind of by way of introduction, and then we will go to the Lord in a word of prayer. David is the writer here. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So he's talking about this idea of fear and faith being involved at the same time. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Look at the end of verse number 4. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And again, the end of verse number 11, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I've talked about the title of my message earlier when I was preaching this morning. And the title of my message is Faith versus Fear, What a Fight. And the idea that I have pictured in my mind, faith and fear in this boxing ring, about to go at it fist to fist, hand to hand, so to speak. And it says, David is saying, they're both here in my life, but I'm expecting to raise the hand, the victorious hand of faith. He says, yeah, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust. I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me, and repeats that two times. Now, this is one of the things that kind of took me back in studying this psalm. I'm thinking, wow, this guy sounds mature. This guy sounds like he's been down the road a few times, has built up some experience with the Lord. But I was somewhat shocked to discover that David was only about 19 years of age when he actually penned this psalm. I think, wow, the maturity of this young man, the walk that he must have already had with the Lord. This is not the first psalm that he had written. In fact, he had written this psalm right along with Psalm 34. A number of people believe Psalm 34 was written just prior to this psalm. And you might want to jot that down and even consider Psalm 34 later along with this study. But I want to talk to you tonight about this faith versus fear and what a fight that would be in our lives. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now help us and guide us. We're taking your word. This is about what you have said to us. We are taking now a point in time in our lives and seeing, wow, this could fit right here in our lives. And so we're now taking our lives and your word and meshing them together with the idea, the hope, the desire that your word can then be applied during this point in time in our lives. Guide me as I speak. Guide each listener as they listen. May they give attention to what your word has to say, and may we all benefit thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that in mind, and already introduced to this message, I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21. Again, we'll be coming back here, and so if you want to mark your Bible to come back here, please do so. But let's consider together 1 Samuel chapter 21, and I want to talk about the temptation for you to fear. the temptation for you to fear. I mentioned fear a little bit this morning, where the Lord was saying to Joshua, I don't want you to fear. And again, I don't believe that was the Lord saying, don't you dare ever fear. If you show any fear, that's a sign of weakness, and that shouldn't be a part of the Christian. I think what the Lord was telling to Joshua there was, I don't want you to be controlled by fear. He's entering into a lot of new experiences there, and God didn't want him to be controlled by fear. Well, this is a really interesting part of the story. 1 Samuel chapter 21, let me put you a little bit into the context. This is when these events were happening, when David wrote Psalms 34 and 56. David had already been victorious over Goliath. David was now, as he was drawing some praise from the people of Israel, Saul began to seek after him to take his life. So David is now in amidst a period of about, estimated about 8 years, in which he is kind of on the run from Saul for trying to spare his own life. In fact, what I've understood from someone who's studied this carefully, a friend of mine of many years, David actually tried to take his, or Saul actually tried to take his life 16 different times. And so David was on the lam, so to speak, and running. And I want you to notice, just in the midst of this story, look at verse number 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. So he's fleeing for fear of Saul. That will draw us to our next point soon. And went to Achish, the king of Gath. Stop for a moment. Do you ever remember hearing of Gath before? Well, we're not going to go there now, but if we backed up just four chapters, we would read another man was from Gath. His name was Goliath. Well, you remember the end of that story. David slew Goliath, then took the sword and cut off his head. There was a great victory over the Philistines there. I kind of can't find it interesting that when David flees from Saul, he runs to Gath, where he had just killed the great Philistine and taken off of his head, and there was a great victory over the Philistines. As I looked into and as I read into it, I still don't have myself fully wrapped around it, but there seemed to be some type of a relationship between this Achish. Notice it says that he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Doesn't necessarily ran into Gath, but he went to the king of Gath where he was located. And there were several occasions where David would go back to this Achish and build somewhat of a friendship there. And actually at one point he says, you've been gracious to me. So there's just interesting, intriguing to me. But the real key to that verse is he fled for the fear. So he had fear of Saul. Then down in verse number 12, David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he runs here to Achish, the king of Gath, then is being discovered who he is, and now he's kind of got a fear here. He's got a fear of Achish. The question might be, can fear and faith coexist? I mean, can they live in the same place? Can they abide at the same time? And I really have come to this conclusion. It's not can they, but when they do, who wins? I think we're going to find throughout our lives repeatedly there comes fearful situations. Maybe the fear of losing your job might be something you're facing right now. You're wondering with the economy, will my livelihood ever be able to be restored to what it was before? There might be a fear of being able to pay for things right now. You're glad for a stimulus package coming down from the government, and maybe you're getting some unemployment or hope to get some unemployment. Maybe there's some benefits that are coming in to you from your business, but there may be some question of, boy, am I going to be able to make ends meet? I'm not working many hours. I'm not working any hours right now. There's just a natural fear. Sometimes due to health situations. You might be a health situation directly involving you, or as the Red Case just went through with their grandson. I mean, that brings a kind of a natural fear to it. You become fearful when you hear he's not gaining weight and he's continuing to have to stay at the hospital. And then again, with the coronavirus in the background of your mind, you're thinking, boy, there he is in the hospital and who else may be there. And so it's not whether or not they can coexist. I think it's what happens when they do. Who's going to win? Again, I think it's almost two sides of the same coin. I think you can look and find that they are closely related. You say, well, I'm really strong in faith, though, when I have nothing to be fearful of. And that's true. When there is no terror going on, when there is no alarm happening, there's a calmness, but that really isn't the presence of God necessarily. That may just be the absence of fear. Sometimes in our lives, because there's no impending trial, there's no major calamity going on, you say, wow, I'm enjoying life. Everything's going really smooth. I'm at peace. Well, it may be you're just not necessarily at peace. You're just at lack of turmoil. There's a calmness only because there's no storm going on. The same is true of the seas. The seas, when there's no wind blowing, they're very calm. But those calm seas can be very troubled very quickly as soon as the winds begin to blow. So, first of all, that idea of the temptation for you to fear, it is going to come. The question is, what are we going to do when it arises? So then the second point then is one of the temptations is going to be to run, to flee. Again, let's take us back into the boxer's match. Sometimes you see someone, if you ever watch boxing and one fighter begins to lose and one's landing some major blows, it's almost like he now becomes a marathon runner. You'll find him just kind of trying to run from the other guy. They've got this small ring. I don't know the exact size of the boxing ring, but all of a sudden you see him running and trying to get away from him. And that might be the temptation in our lives. Again, go back here to verse number 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 21. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. He said, hey, I'm going to run. Now remember, this is David, quite young, against Saul, number one, king, number two, large, number three, has mighty men around him. David has no one around him to be a band of warriors. And so he decided to run to Achish, the king of Gath. Look at verse number 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David, the king of the land? And did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? I mean, David's reputation preceded him, we would say. They begin to recognize who David is. And David laid these words up in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So what did he do? In verse number 13, he changed his behavior before them, feigned himself mad in their hands, and talks about the scabble that would run down from him, as if he was a madman trying to somewhat throw them off. And then look at chapter 22 and just verse number 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped. Doesn't say he fled, but surely looks that's what he's doing. And he goes to the cave of Adullam. And so again, what was David's temptation when faced with these fearful situations? His temptation was to run. I've wondered this, and we'll never know this side of glory, whether I'm right. Of course I'm right, but no, just kidding. I've wondered this, did David write these psalms just after this and say, the next time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord? Man, this is tiring. I ran and I ran to the wrong place. And then I had to make myself as a madman and I had to run again. And now I'm hiding in a cave. I just wonder if David's not in the cave. And when he pens Psalm 56 and says, what time I'm afraid, the next time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And I'm not going to fear what man does to me. Again, I don't have volumes of evidence. I've never heard anyone preach that. But I've thought of that when reading Psalms 34 and 56, because they almost both seem to be a psalm of somewhat repentance or of resolve to do it differently the next time. With this in mind, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 55. This is something I found in my study that I found quite interesting, and it would really apply to this second point. You know, when we are going to be tempted to, when we fear, we're going to be facing temptations. One of the temptations is going to be to run. Maybe that may be true in your life. You got caught doing something and you just would like to run. You'd like to maybe move to a different area of the country and start life over. Maybe you face some various challenges and you just want to get away. Maybe you got in trouble at work, and instead of facing it and showing the change that has come about you as a Christian, you just want to go get a different job. Maybe you've improperly handled something in the neighborhood, and instead of correcting it and humbling yourself and apologizing and asking for forgiveness, you want to move and get into another neighbor. I don't know what it might be. But there may be that temptation to fear in your life, or excuse me, to flee in your life. And again, I want you to understand that merely fleeing and getting away, it will bring a sense of calm, but it will not bring the sense of peace in our lives. We've been taught well that most people want relief more than they want change. Look here in Psalm 55. I'm going to begin with verse number 4 and go down to verse number 8. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Wow, he really sets the table for how he's feeling, what he's experiencing in verses 4 and 5. And I said, oh, that I have wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. Wow, stop and think about that. Man, just to get away. I'm going to go so far, I'm just going to go out in the wilderness. And by the way, some of you do that. You run to the cabin in the mountains. You run to the shore. You run to where your quiet place is. You get on the boat and go out into the middle of the sea and do a little fishing. And again, I think sometimes we're looking for calmness and not peace. Sometimes we're fleeing and not actually entering into the fight. We're just getting away. And then what happens is you have 2 days off and you have to go back to work, and Monday comes and you're back in, and you didn't actually gain any ground. You didn't actually grow as a Christian. You actually just got away and rested, which it sometimes I understand is helpful. But you were looking for calmness and a lack of fight rather than entering into faith and winning the battle. Boy, he said, man, I'm sore pained. I'm overwhelmed. I just wish I was like a bird. I could just fly away, and I'm going to fly far away to get into the wilderness. Look at verse number 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I think these are verses that ought to be jotted down on some of your sheets. These are verses that ought to be considered, because I think sometimes this is our mindset, of just humanly wanting to get away, the absence of fear, and thinking that's what I'm looking for. I'll find peace if I don't have fear. No, the reality is we need to fight through it. And we need to fight through it by faith. And so the temptation for us to fear, one of the temptations is to flee and just to run and to get away from it. But then I want us to look at the triumph for you, which is through faith. And that takes us back to the initial passage that we read, Psalm 56. So would you return there with me? You're just a page away, or maybe on the same page, just a little bit further down. This psalm really is more about faith than it is about fear. You're going to notice the mention of fear in verse number 3, but there is far more resolve to not fear and to win a victorious faith life than it is to be fearful. What are you going to do when the fearful times come, really, is the question. Because David, I think, as he writes this psalm, is not saying, I'm never going to fear. He's saying, no, when I do come to these fearful situations, I'm resolving now, from now on out, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Again, I think, and I just continue to meditate, I've done it on years about this story, I really think David is saying, this was exhausting. I ran to the wrong place. I had to feign myself mad and run again. Now I'm alone in a cave. This is exhausting. God must have something better for me than this. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, this is what I'm going to do. I will trust in thee. Okay, who's thee? Who's he talking to? Is this a companion? Is this Jonathan who's fled with him? Is this a group of men that have become his warriors? No, this is his God. What this has done, this has humbled David. And David, as a young man, is yielding himself to the Lord. And he says, Lord, when I come to the points of fear, losing of a job, not being able to pay bills, the struggling of a marriage, the struggling of dealing with children, whatever the relationship issue may be, the battle with work and the co-workers, neighbors, whatever it might be. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He said, I'm just determining. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to continue to be fearful of all these people. Look at verse number 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And David was just firmly resolving, again, as about a 19-year-old. He says, Lord, I know this. I'm just going to turn to you, and you're going to somehow turn away my enemies from me. I know this because I know you are for me. You know, there's a temptation in our lives to take a little nugget of the verse and just twist it to mean what we want it to mean. But when I look at what David is saying, David is saying something similar to what Paul said in Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the reality of it is God is for us. God is on our side. And we have a tremendous opportunity to just trust in him. He goes back and then repeats again, verse number 10 is almost a similar repeating to what he says in verse number 4. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. And again, he said, I'm going to praise what the Lord has promised to me. I'm going to praise what the Lord has said to me. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And again, he's saying, those times that I'm afraid, I'm not going to be afraid of what man can do unto me. What is he saying? I'm not going to be controlled by other men. Do you know David continued to flee and continued to elude Saul, but it was almost like the fear was gone. Because remember him being in the cave? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, maybe you've never heard the story. David's hiding in the back of the cave with his men, and Saul and his warriors are at the front of the cave, and David, as he slips out, cuts the hem of the garb off of Saul. Again, he wasn't fearful. He wasn't afraid of that man anymore. He didn't want to touch the Lord's anointed. He wanted to be careful there. So he was more fearful of the Lord than he was of Saul. He says, I'm not going to be afraid what man can do unto me. In closing, I'd like you to turn with me, if we have the time, I think, to turn to Isaiah 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I just want to show you one verse here. So again, when these two enter into the ring at the same time, Who are you predicting will win? Who are you going to be cheering on? Who are you going to be feeding? Sometimes we feed our fears. We add other turmoil or tumultuous thoughts. Sometimes we get in despair and think there's no way out, no chance to win. And we just kind of spiral downward. Or you kind of like David. You're going to say, okay, I want to have some resolve here. When these fearful things do enter into my life, I'm not going to fear what they can do unto me. No, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to have my confidence in you. I'm going to lean upon you because you're for me. So again, I think what we need to do is understand that when these two enter into the ring together, or they will, that we are of this resolve. When I'm faced with fearful situations, I am not going to let that fear control me. What I am going to do from this time out is turn to the Lord. By the way, let me ask you, if you would study the entirety of the life of David, do you think that he ever was fearful again and controlled by his fear? The reality of it was, at times he was. Say so, he didn't keep up with what he said. You know what? We are but men. We are but ladies. We are but flesh. And so while we can have these resolves and these desires, we surely need the Lord's help. Because there are going to come the time when, man, we just get caught at the wrong moment. We're weak in our walk with the Lord. Where maybe the fears are compounding, so maybe the fears are not only coming from home, but from work as well, and so you're caught in the crossfire, and you do think to start to think unbiblically. So what happens? Do we stay down? No, a just man falls seven times and does what? He rises up again. And even the Word teaches us that the Lord will help him up. And so what happens is we just need to get back up again. So David resolved this. Did he always do it? Did he reign victorious the rest of his life? No, he did not. But very often he did, because he had the resolve to do that which is right and pleasing the Lord. I love what it says here in Isaiah 12, verse number 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also shall become my salvation. What is he talking about there? My deliverer. He's saying he's going to become even something more special to me. So behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And these are types of verses we ought to maybe commit to memory. We ought to maybe write down on a 3x5 card and put somewhere to refresh our minds like this. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. I'm going to walk in the power of the Lord, not in my own strength. I'm going to trust fully in Him. I believe at the bottom of the sheet I've included some other verses for your consideration as well from Psalm 7. Let's have the resolve of David. We are not going to allow fear to control us, but we're going to put our trust in the Lord. We're going to rely on the strength of Jehovah because He's for us. We're not going to run. There's temptation is going to be to, boy, take the wings like a dove and fly away from here and just get away from things. Let me encourage you, when you talk like that and when you think about doing things like that, to stop and ask yourself, am I doing this because I am pleasing the Lord, or am I just doing this to get away? Getting away isn't the worst thing in the world. Getting away isn't sin. But when our mindset is this of always just wanting to escape, we have to confront that at some point. And say, I need more than just to escape. I need to have peace that comes from trusting in the Lord. And so let me encourage you to meditate on that Psalm 55 and those verses 4 to 8 as well. Because that is the mindset of some Christians. Let's just go to the mountains for the weekend. you know, very often miss church. Let's just get away from the week and the weekend, and we'll drive home on Sunday, and again, missing church. And the idea is we're looking to get away more than grow. And we're not finding the true peace in trusting the Lord like David is. So when fear and faith come together, boy, what a fight that's going to be. Who's going to reign victorious in your life? Are you going to choose? Are you going to resolve to have faith and trust in the Lord? I trust that you will. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be those fearful events that we face repeatedly. And Father, we're going to have the opportunity to either stand with great faith or decide to be tempted and maybe even to flee and really exhaust ourselves. It's more exhausting, Father, to run than it is sometimes to fight. Sometimes we just need to resolve. I need to just turn to the Lord. I need to trust in Him. I need to quit fearing what others can do and what other things can do to my life. I need to put my faith and trust in the Lord. Strengthen us now. Help us to resolve to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.